morning, everyone. We're glad that you can join us today in this season of Advent. He is the reason for the season, and we pray that the good news of our Lord will bring you joy, peace, and hope. Let us spend a minute or two in the beginning to enter a time of confession. If there are any areas in our heart that we refuse to yield to the Lord, let us come before Him and ask for His forgiveness. And afterwards, we'll start with the congregation prayer. Dear Father, during the season of Advent, we are reminded of the amazing gift through your Son. He came as a helpless baby, born in a manger with a humble beginning to bring us hope, to heal the brokenhearted, and to give the ultimate sacrifice so that our sins can be forgiven, to restore our relationship with our Father and with each other. Even in the midst of exhaustion, weariness, disappointments, and frustrations, we frequently find out that God is actually among us, with us, Emmanuel. You want to connect with us and comfort us with your presence, even if it costs you dearly, with your precious Son. Dear Lord, we also confess that there are pockets of resistance in our hearts. Sometimes prevented us from following you wholeheartedly, not yielding to your kingship. We call you Lord, but still try to be our own master in our life. Whatever areas in our life you are not ruling, that's where we miss all the kingdom blessings associated with these areas. As we celebrate the birth of our Lord, we are reminded that you came to grant those who truly seek you peace, joy, and hope on earth. They cannot be taken away, not by circumstances, illness, and not even death can separate us from your love. In Christ's name we pray. Let us turn to Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20. I would like to invite you to stand to read God's word together. We'll use the ESV version. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his hometown. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as they had been told them. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is "The Kingdom Strikes Back." So 2020 has been a very difficult year under the pandemic. For a long time, people were scared and some people were dying. Everybody was waiting for relief. On December 11th, the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19 finally received the emergency use authorization under FDA. So Operation Warp Speed started shipping 20 million doses from Pfizer to all 50 states, with priorities given to medical professionals. It was held as a turning point in the pandemic that has taken more than 300,000 lives. And that number is already getting close to the death count in the US during World War II. It was like people in the darkness finally seeing the light, a glimmer of hope. And if we can have the AV team to bring up the picture of a comet in the dark sky. And let me quote what Dr. Fauci said. "Help is coming." And by the way, I checked my ranking on a New York Times website. And it looks like I am ranked 237 million. So I'm behind 237 million Americans on the list to receive the vaccine. But there's hope. Help is coming. And we seem to finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I want to bring you back to 2,000 years ago for a groundbreaking event that's actually much bigger than the COVID-19 vaccine. The birth of our Savior. He brought in light in the midst of darkness, as prophesied in Isaiah chapter 9. Heaven penetrates earth. The kingdom of God begins to unfold on earth to drive away darkness, to heal the brokenhearted, to restore our relationship with God and with each other. So the main idea for our passage today in Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20 is this. The King of Heaven became a baby in the manger to usher in his kingdom on earth. And we have three divisions. Verses 1 to 7, the king became a baby. So the King of Heaven became a baby in the manger with a very humble birth. And from that point on, God is with us, is among us. And verse 8 to 12, the king is our Savior. And this is good news of great joy, but not only for certain ethnic groups. It's for all the people in the world. And this news was revealed to the shepherds first. And the third point is glory to the king. From verses 13 to 18, angels in heaven and shepherds on earth all give praises to God after witnessing Christ's birth. And how can we live our life in such a way that also gives glory to God? So let's start with the first point. The king became a baby. In today's passage, we are brought back to the time of the first century. Now, at that time, Israel, who considered themselves as God's people, were under the tyranny of Roman rule. Ironically, this period started from about 27 BC and ended around 200 AD. It was called Pax Romana. And it's because of the relative external peace and order that allowed trade routes to flourish. But deep inside, there was no peace, no real peace, in the hearts of the common people of Israel. They were waiting for the prophecy of Messiah to be fulfilled, and perhaps to overturn the Roman government completely. But in today's passage in Luke chapter 2, we're going to focus on a couple, Joseph and Mary, a seemingly very common couple in Israel. And I would like you to imagine what they were going through. Mary was 9 months pregnant. And there was this untimely edict from the government saying that there's a census. You have to go back to your own town. And from Nazareth to the hometown of Joseph, the city of David, Bethlehem, is about 90 miles. And you think about it, for that time, for a pregnant woman, actually 9 months pregnant, to travel for 90 miles was very inconvenient. And after a long trip of exhaustion, they were told that there is no space in the inn. I don't know about you, but I would be utterly frustrated. And some may even be angry with God. Just when we thought the situation could not get worse, the baby decided to come out. And Mary had to deliver the baby in the manger. But in the midst of this messy situation and extreme frustrations, the center of the universe was actually with them. And throughout this whole process, God was in control. That's why someone called the history, his story, God's story. He was always in control. But have you ever been in a situation when things were not really going your way, and not according to your plan, and you might be quite frustrated and even upset with yourself? But then when you look back, God was actually there. He had a wonderful plan for you, and maybe even for people you encounter because of that messy situation. He can redeem a very bad situation for a good purpose, and that's his specialty. So I want to share a recent personal experience with you. So one day I had the urge to go get a half dozen bagels from a nearby coffee shop. I have to tell you, this coffee shop has the best bagels in town. But it was near the store closing time. So as I was trying to rush out, I jumped into my car, I backed up my car, and then I hit a big garbage can I left on the driveway. And so that created a dent on my car, and a dent in my spirit. But regardless, I went ahead and got a 6 bagels. So then later on, I went to a collision shop trying to get the car fixed. And I met this case manager. I'm going to call him Johnny. That's not his real name, but Let's just call him Johnny. So I asked Johnny, how much would it cost to fix this car? Oh, he said, it's going to be over $1,000, but you know, you have insurance, so you pay $500 for deductible. So I went home, I told my wife, you know, these bagels are really expensive. $500 for six bagels. It's like $83 each. And a few days later, I went back for the scheduled repair. And this time, I brought our church connection card. So I asked Johnny, I said, Johnny, I'm wondering if do you want to check out our church? And to my surprise, Johnny told me that he has been looking for a church for a while. And so when I look back, and by the way, so we invited him to join our church, and he actually showed up a couple of times in the virtual lobby and gospel talk class. So when I look back, yes, there was some loss of money, a small financial loss. But I thought God was there to make this divine appointment. So when Johnny was introduced in our virtual lobby, he said that, oh, I got to know Robin by accident. So that's how we get to know each other. So coming back to the story in Bethlehem. Yes, sometimes we going through frustrations, difficulties, trials in our life. But if we look back, God was among us. So there, since there was no space in the inn, the baby was placed in a manger, which is essentially an animal feeding trough. Now, it's hard to imagine a more humble beginning, even for people who are poor. Who would ever deliver your babies in a manger? Have you ever wondered why God wanted Jesus to have such a humble birth instead of in a splendid palace, or at least in a clean room? You see, God is willing to connect with those who are lost, even if it means that God has come into a very messy situation in our life, or dwell in our filthy hearts. Even when we don't like ourselves anymore, he does not give up on us. So the King of Heaven came down to become a vulnerable baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He could not even stretch his arm or legs. King of Heaven, the Creator of heavens and earth, was confined. He could not even stretch his arms or legs. He was confined by all the limitations that come with a man, from baby to grave, to identify with us, to live among us. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." He had all the riches of the heavenly kingdom, but he came down to become poor, to bring us all the spiritual blessings to those who seek him. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. By coming to earth, he also made the glory of Father known to us, as he is the perfect image of God, who he is. So John 1:14 used the word to describe Jesus, as he is the perfect expression of who God really is. So let me read this verse, John chapter 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, what's the big surprise here? The people of Israel always expected the Messiah to come to save them from their darkness and perhaps a warrior king that will overthrow the Roman rule. But the King of Heaven came as a helpless baby in the manger. Actually, He came not to conquer the land, but to conquer our hearts. And not to change the political system, but to establish his kingdom on earth. And his kingdom, as we mentioned in the last sermon, God's kingdom is defined by places where he rules. If you yield your heart to God, that's where the kingdom is. So the kingdom of God has started already for those who yield their hearts to the true king. It's not complete. We haven't seen his complete glory. That's when Jesus comes again. But you can begin to have a taste of God's kingdom if you yield your hearts to him. So he came not just to save the people of Israel, but also their enemies. He came as the Savior for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And his way is different from our ways. And his will is above our will. When you conquer your enemies with brute force, with violence, their hearts are not conquered by you. So God's way is different from our way. So the kingdom of heaven is striking back, not with an army, but with a baby, who will become the king of our hearts and establish his reign on earth as it is in heaven. Today I picked the title, The Kingdom Strikes Back. This was actually the title of an article written by Ralph Winter. And he claimed that the past 4,000 years of human history is God's redemptive story about the kingdom striking back. But today we focus on the most critical turning point. That's when Jesus was born. So now this brings us to the second point. The king is our savior. One big question is, why did Jesus come? I want you to think about this for a minute or two. Why did Jesus come? People may have different answers. But we're going to look at what the angel said in this passage, and then we'll look at what Christ said himself in other passages in the Bible. But how you answer this question, why did Jesus come, may fundamentally change how you live your life. You might think that Jesus came to save me so I can go to heaven. So I'm just going to wait here until that day happens. That's one view. But second view is that he came in to usher in his kingdom. So as a citizen of his kingdom, as a child of our God, you have a kingdom mission. Your mind, your view will be very different from the past when you were focusing on your self-interest. Now you have the whole world in your mind. And that's kingdom-minded. So why did Jesus come? We're going to look at this. In verse 8, we now move the focus from the manger to the shepherds in the field. So an angel appeared to them. And what he said in verses 10 to 11 are very important. As they pronounce the title, the mission, and the scope of this mission of this baby, and also the content of this message. First of all, the angel announced his title. His title is Christ the Lord. So what does the word Christ mean? It means the anointed one. So in the Old Testament, only three kinds of people can be anointed. The king, the high priest, and a prophet. So they typically, let me do a demonstration here. Sorry, this is actually a sanitizer, but what they usually do is they'll put oil on the head of the king, the high priest, or the prophet. So the oil flows down through the hair, the beard, and the whole body. And it's a symbol that through this leader, God's blessings will come to God's people. That's why there's this anointing. The king, the high priest, or the prophet. So they represent three important offices in the Old Testament. Government, the priesthood, that is the mediator, between God and man and prophet teaching. But Christ holds three offices, all these three offices, because he's the king, he's the mediator between God and man, and he is the word that communicates and teaches God's messages to his people. So that's his title. The angel announced his title. He is Christ the Lord. Now the second thing is the angel announced his mission and its scope. He is the Savior that will bring good news of great joy to the people. And this is why we sing Joy to the World. It's not just for people of Israel, but it has always, always been God's will that all nations, the correct translation should be all people groups, will be blessed, as we saw in Genesis 12, when God revealed his plan to bring back his kingdom on earth through the offspring of Abraham, which was pointing to Christ, since he is in the line of King David and the line of Abraham. Finally, to prove that the angel's words are trustworthy, the angel told the shepherds that there is a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Have you ever wondered why God chose shepherds? Why didn't he choose the priests, the scribes, the kings, the princes, to reveal such great news, such important good news? I think it's quite fitting, not only because the good news is for everyone, all the common people, not just those in power, but also because Jesus called himself the great shepherd in John chapter 10. He said that the sheep know his name, and he will lay down his life for his sheep. And as we know, we as his sheep sometimes can easily go astray. Not only that he's the great shepherd, he is also the sacrificial lamb. As John the Baptist pointed out in John 1:29, he came to take away the sins of this world. You see, in the Old Testament time, a high priest usually sacrificed a lamb. But Jesus, the true high priest, gave his own life. He became the sacrificial lamb for you and me, once for all, to wash away our sins so that we can receive his righteousness and we have a new life in his kingdom. And that allows us to have a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, by the way, this city, Bethlehem, is about 10 kilometers from Jerusalem. So it's very likely some of these lambs attended by the shepherds might have been used as sacrifices in the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. And typically, they had to find lambs without blemish. And they would actually wrap up the lambs, a little bit like Jesus in the swaddling clothes, to make sure that these lambs for sacrifice will not become blemished or injure themselves. So it is so fitting that God chose the right people, shepherds, to reveal the good news through this particular sign. In Matthew chapter 18, 11 to 14, Jesus also used the analogy of a lost sheep to illustrate how God cares about each one of us. He doesn't even want one of us to be lost. If one out of 100 sheep has gone astray, Jesus said the shepherd will drop the other 99 to find the lost one. And when that lost sheep is found, the shepherd rejoices. And in Matthew 11:28, and I'm going to use the NIV version in this particular case, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Are you weary and burdened? Have you been looking for rest? I'm not talking about external rest, like sitting on the beach or having a cup of coffee on a sunny afternoon. I'm talking about true rest in your heart, because that you know that if you truly, truly seek Him and ask for forgiveness, God promised that your sins will be forgiven and He will give you a new start. You will be free from the attacks of the enemies who might keep telling you that you're not good enough. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you receive a new identity, a child of God, a citizen of His kingdom. So in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. What a great promise to become children of the mighty God who created heavens and earth, but who was also willing to come down. His son was willing to come down to become a baby in the manger, just to connect with each one of us and to give his life for all of us. So how do we respond to his deep love for each one of us? This brings us to the third point. Glory to the King. We see two groups of people who witnessed the birth of Jesus. Angels in heaven and the shepherds on earth. And both gave praises to God. In verse 14, an army of angels praise God and say, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. And they praise God for His perfect and wonderful plan of salvation, as He granted peace to those who seek Him and are willing to be citizens of His kingdom. We have peace, and this peace is not external peace. This is peace, knowing that we are not reconciled with our Father. So when we talk about peace in the Bible, it's the peace with God. When you have that relationship, you can begin to have peace with others as well. So even though a government, like a Roman government, may offer some external and relative peace, they call it Pax Romana, by maintaining some proper order of the society, but the inner peace, knowing that our sins are forgiven, can only be received through Christ Jesus. Now, the shepherds are common people. Even though they heard the words from the angels, they trust and verify. They wanted to witness the birth of Jesus themselves according to what the Lord has revealed. And after the shepherds saw baby Jesus in the manger, they shared the good news with others right away. So the shepherds also praised God and glorified God for all they had heard and seen. So we see angels in heaven, shepherds on earth. Heaven and earth praise God for what He did. They give glory to God. But now how about us? How can we give glory to our King as we conduct our daily lives? As the shepherds did, they received by faith the message God revealed to them, and they responded immediately with obedience. Share the good news with others. So now that we are citizens of His kingdom, to experience all the spiritual blessings, we want to be obedient to the King and be kingdom-minded. So what did the King, the Lord, tell us? In Matthew 28:19, it's a very clearly defined task. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. And as I said before, the nation here actually means all kinds of people groups. Now, we can always take baby steps. We can reach out to our neighbors first. And when I say neighbor, I actually mean not only just physical neighbors, but people in your social circles, or even people that you encounter while you conduct your daily business, such as collision shop, when you visit a dentist, or while you walk a dog in your neighborhood. Strike a conversation when God brings an opportunity to you and invest your life in someone. If God was willing to humble himself to come down to connect with us, can we at least make an effort to connect with people around us and to share the good news? As some of you know, we have several missionaries involved in cross-cultural local outreach. And you might be wondering, why do we want to cross the culture, right? Why don't we just share with good news with our neighbors, which is also very important. And as I said, when you are kingdom-minded, you know what God cares about. When there's a group that is unreached, they've never heard about the gospel, you want to reach out to them. And we know that in this world, probably 1.8 billion Muslims and 1.3 billion Hindus have never really had good access to the gospel. So I once attended a mission training, and the leader did this. So I want you to follow me. Just snap your fingers. And if you're sleeping, you can wake up. Okay, snap your fingers. And she said that every time you snap your fingers, one person, one Muslim or Hindu died without knowing Christ. That's how fast it is. And so when you're kingdom-minded, you care about people who may look very different from you. I'm very thankful in our church. We have Sister Jen Behan reaching out to the Hindus, Sister Sarah Hui reaching out to the Muslims, and Brother Frank Lee reaching out to the Jewish communities. And by the way, they all graduated about the same time from the same seminary. That was very cool. So I started joining the Hindu outreach prayer meeting Tuesday night. It has been a few months, but I finally got a chance to really go out. I went out a week before Saturday, December 12th, with Jen Behan and another 10 brothers and sisters in RCCC to this place called Hilltop Apartment Complex in Edison. I think yesterday there was another group just to sing Christmas carols. Now, it was an eye-opening experience for me. That apartment complex is about 1,000 apartments. But we saw very little Christmas decoration. And according to an Indian pastor who was with us, he's very familiar with the neighborhood. He said there's probably not a single Christian family among those 1,000 homes. Most of them are Gujarati Hindus. So when we sing Christmas carols in their parking lots, some children actually came out. And they came out to sing, and they also danced with us. And then later, the parents also came out and took photos and videos and gladly joined us as well. By the way, that day, we had better weather. Yesterday, some brothers and sisters went in the freezing weather, so I really appreciated them. God remembers their faithfulness. But anyway, so about a week ago, I went, and Jen and I spoke to a person from Mumbai, and he said that many of his friends would love to have an English conversation class or English ESL class in that apartment complex because many of them needed to learn English to get better jobs. But most of them do not have cars. So we need to have a presence there, maybe an apartment there, in order to reach out to them. So after Christmas caroling, we would usually pray in each parking lot. We went through about 6 or 7 parking lots. But one time when we were praying, someone went over to Amy and to say, could you pray for peace in my family? And this person is probably a Hindu, not a Christian, but when he saw us praying, he actually asked us to pray for peace. And remember what we read today? Peace on earth among those he is pleased. So can someone have true peace without knowing Christ? Can we all pray that one day there will be at least a man of peace in that neighborhood, and that will gladly accept Christ as his Savior and share the good news with his neighbors, just like the shepherds. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that Christ came to be both the sacrificial lamb and the great shepherd so that we can become citizens of your kingdom and children of the Heavenly Father. We pray for at least one person of peace in the neighborhood of the Hilltop Complex in Edison. We pray that the seeds were planted, and we pray for your kingdom presence in that neighborhood and in all the neighborhoods who have not heard of the good news that will bring great joy, peace, and hope to each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.